At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants. Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
Tatum fires over Sabonis. It's a four-point play opportunity. Jason Tatum is clutching his right ankle. This is not what the Celtics or anybody else wants to see.
Tells you everything.
Yeah. He seems to be doing okay. He's just icing it right now. I didn't see the play, but they made the right calls of flagrant foul, and fortunate that he was able to shoot the free throw and, just taking care of it right now. So.
Well, did he tweak an ankle or anything?
Yeah, he just landed on the defender's ankle.
Okay.
Yeah, or foot.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons here. That was the of Jason Tatum's ankle injury last night in the Celtics 113-95 win out west against the Kings. As the texter said, I missed an opportunity that would have made Dan Ball roll his eyes. The Celtics are rolling and Tatum rolled his ankle. Should have been what I went into the break with, but you know, it's a work in progress. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's a freaking critic, Fitzy. But indeed, that was the story of the game. The Celtics won, took care of business. They've won six in a row. And yet, Jason Tatum, 25 points, nice night. My guy Jaylen Brown wasn't having a nice night. And three turnovers, minus one for the night.
And funny how Fitzy's guy, Shireman, continues to make positive impacts wherever he gets a chance to, whether he's burying shots or behind the back passes, baby. Let's go.
Two nights ago, he didn't have a great game. But this is not the Baylor Shireman talk. This is Jason Tatum, limping. Jason Tatum. Do we have a Dan Ball, if you could effort for any? And I know Terp is back there as well, so he is sort of our connection to the Celtics beat. Have we had any updates from the West Coast on Jason Tatum? Because I do always wonder, you know, it's okay. He wasn't in a walking boot. He's limping, blah, blah, blah. But a day later, you wake up. Sometimes things change. You feel different.
Do you want him playing anytime soon? I sure as hell don't.
No, I don't. But I also want to know what we're dealing with here. As the Celtics come down the home stretch of the season and try to hit on all cylinders heading into the postseason.
So I did what any good fan does, which is check
Google
the Twitter of Justin Turpin, and there has not been an update. So left ankle sprain, no timetable. They're probably going to be very, very vague about this from a timeline end of regular season perspective, I would guess.
I wonder if Joe Mazzulla has even seen the play yet, because he was quite sure that they got the call right with the flagrant one against Sabonis, but he also said that after admitting he hadn't seen the play. And we started the show, Fitzy, talking about the legality of what Sabonis did. Clearly, by NBA rules, they deemed it a flagrant foul, but does that make it a dirty play? Was he trying to do something that could take Jason Tatum out? Tatum's even had some past comments talking about the officiating of plays such as that and protecting stars. And I get that. And we had a few comparisons. You compared it to the hip drop tackle in the NFL, as you like to say, crossing sports. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, veracity. There are two effort plays by defensive players that kind of can lead to injury, but I don't think they actually...
Take a shortcut, as some may say?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a shortcut. It's situationally effective, I guess, is the way maybe I describe it. You got to do what you got to do in the situation. But there's also comparisons to roughing the passer and the protection of quarterbacks and things of that nature, which is probably also accurate because three-point shooters are the lifeblood of modern basketball. Jason Tatum, Steph Curry, these guys that hit a lot of threes are stars. Hell, the Celtics win because of 3 points, basically. That's how they play the game. So protecting them, keeping stars on the court, I get all of that. I get a little uncomfortable with the idea that we're now going to say Sabonis, was intentional, was dirty or whatever. It was a play. He closed out. He landed in his space. He landed on his foot. He rolled his ankle. He limps off. It looks like you've avoided any major injuries. I don't know. I just think if this were the opposite, if this were Al Horford closing out on Steph Curry, do you think a single member of Celtic Nation, any single green teamer would say, oh, that's a dirty play? No, they'd be saying, oh, he's just doing his job.
Yeah, I think if you showed this play to 100 different NBA players and you blurred out the jersey names, numbers, and faces and just said, tell us if you think this play is dirty or not. And I know the pro athletes aren't the super fans, the honks, the homers, and the green teamers. I bet you it'd be like 90 to 10. They would say, no, it's not a dirty play. It's just a competitive play.
Right.
It's basketball. It's sports. What are you going to do?
I almost feel like people would say, did you include the right clip? Is this actually the play you wanted me to look at that you're asking me whether this is dirty? I've seen this play happen a gazillion times in NBA and college basketball. The difference is he landed on his foot, and it is a rule. Like, I'm not saying it's not a rule and it shouldn't have been a foul. Like, under the letters of their laws, it's absolutely a rule and a foul. But I don't know. To me, it's not much more than that. It is just not a play on, obviously. That's the wrong phrase. But it's move on with your season and be thankful that Jason Tatum, I don't think, suffered a serious injury, because you don't want to be worrying about both Brown and Tatum being healthy when you enter the postseason. Mm-hmm. That is, I won't say that's worst case scenario, but it's less than ideal.
It's far from ideal. I hadn't rewatched it since last night, so just rewatch it again while we were discussing here. It looks less, now that you know that Tatum is okay, or at least that he said he was just sore, it kind of takes a little bit of the sting off watching the play. I've seen far more, what look like far more egregious foot plants, where it's like Sabonis went laterally across his body to try to make the block. The foot landed where the foot landed. It's not like he could have moved the feet the same way that you can move the arms. And nor does it look like he, like jab stepped and like put one foot out like deliberately to try to roll the ankle of Tatum. So, yeah. And as far as how Tatum's doing, you got from a couple hours ago, one of your sports Twitter doctors here saying likely a classic lateral ankle sprain. He'll do the MRI routine, whatever. Best case scenario, he'll be eligible to return in 7 to 10 days. Worst case scenario, grade 2 sprain. He misses 3 to 4 weeks. Lucky for your Boston Celtics, Andy, the playoffs don't really start for a couple of weeks. So, again, that's why I'm saying put him in Museum of Fine Arts quality wrap. Send him back to Boston. Elevate. Rest, ice, compression, elevation, and get him ready for when it starts mattering in late April. The hell do you need to see him against Phoenix or anyone else for?
And this is the beauty of the situation that the Celtics are basically in. So you are now, as of last night's win, 53-19, 4.5 games back of the Cavaliers, and 8 games up on the Knicks. You are solidly in the 2 seed in the Eastern Conference. You really aren't playing for anything. I mean, you've done a nice job. You've actually closed a little ground on Cleveland because you're 9-1 in your last 10. They're 6-4, but you're not really playing for anything. You're playing to be the best basketball team you can be when the playoffs open. That's what you're playing for. And now the one negative, I guess you would say, for this is we talked to Brian Scalabrine last week, and he was emphasizing one of the aspects of this late season run is ramping up the minutes for your star players, the Jason Tatums and the Jaylen Browns.
To get them into the 40s for when they need it in the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, that in an ideal world, that's what you're trying to do. but this isn't an ideal world. He's now dealing with an injury. And also, in today's modern medicine world, like, they have those underwater treadmills. He can do plenty of running, jogging, conditioning, heart rate, all those things without putting too much stress on the ankle. So you can still work towards that goal of having him be in his best conditioned self for the playoffs.
I'd also like to point out that the Celtics bench is so good. How good is it? Well, actually, it's so good that a bunch of the guys on the Celtics bench would probably start on half of the rest of the teams in the NBA. Like, when you can trot out Pritchard and Hauser and Cornette and Horford or Porzingis, depending on which lineup you're rolling out, like, there's the depth to survive an opening round if you don't have Tatum at his best or need to marginalize his minutes should this recovery take longer than necessary. Look, I'm sure they're going to play this smartly, Andy. Like, the last thing I'm worried about is Tatum talking his way onto the court 4 to 8 days too early and then really putting a strain on this ankle before the pursuit of Banner 19 begins.
So I didn't consider this potentially anything nefarious, intentional, until Sabonis opened his mouth and made me think.
As a guy who's coming back from an ankle injury, just how bad do you feel about that Tatum situation?
I feel horrible. You know, I've had a crazy month myself personally, you know, and you never want that to happen, you know, so I apologize.
Domas, where did you see things kind of get the separation from you guys tonight?
We started taking tougher shots there.
Oh, yeah. No, that's good. All I needed was him telling me that he's had a tough month. Apparently, he has dealt with his own ankle injury. Made me think.
Taking it out on Tatum.
Yeah. It felt like you took him out. Felt like you were very clean until you opened your mouth. Better the world think you're a cheater than open your mouth and prove it, or some, I don't know, cliche that doesn't really fit this situation.
Exist or apply in this situation. No. I think.
What was he saying?
I think the gravity of what happened, like, he was just lost in the competition in the moment, and then didn't realize that he over pursued and put himself, or rather put Jason Tatum, in a compromising position, leading to Tatum's slight ankle sprain.
Yeah, let's compare this, for example, to, remember when Grant Williams took Tatum out? Just flat out headhunted him. Came across the court and de-cleated him.
That is one of, still, like, thankfully we knew Tatum was fine, so we could look back and laugh at it, because that was one of the stupidest things I've ever seen an athlete, let alone a professional basketball player, do.
But also, just inherently, if you've watched any basketball and then you saw the Grant Williams play, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're not allowed to do that. I don't think that's bad.
You can't charge diagonally across the court and tackle your friend and say, nah, it's okay, he's going to come over for dinner tomorrow night.
We're going to have wings.
He almost knocked the man out.
So compare that to what Sabonis did, where he's just like the traditional, you've seen it at that, I'm just going to jump toward the three-point shooter with my hand in the air and try to make it a little more difficult. And then he comes out with this apology referencing how he's had a bad month. It's like he's explaining why he did something really bad. He didn't need to explain it.
I get it. You know what it was? He probably watched Sunday night's episode of The White Lotus and was still in such a weird headspace that he lost himself last night.
I don't get the reference because I don't watch White Lotus, but I bet you a lot of listeners do because that's been a very popular show. I just say you're sorry that he got hurt. You're sorry he landed on your foot. You never want to see another player, right? You never want to see another player get hurt.
No, never. No, especially out of conference. Now, I'm sure if this happened, you know, against the Cavaliers, one of them would be like, oh, man, this is terrible.
Yeah, that's really bad. I hope it doesn't make him miss playoff time and allow us to go to the NBA
Finals. It was a player they signed off the street that day who did it, too.
617-779-7937. The Celtics, are they in trouble if Tatum is dinged up in the postseason? Do you believe there was anything dirty about what Sabonis did last night that led to Jason Tatum limping off in the third quarter with an ankle injury? And Bill Chisholm, did you know he's a big fan, but his wife is an even bigger fan of Joe Mazzulla? We might play that audio next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, and for the final time today, sadly, Dan Ball has what's trending.
The Christian Arcan Show, weeknights starting at 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Celtics beat the Sacramento Kings on the road last night, 113-95. Jason Tatum did leave the game in the third quarter with a sprained left ankle. There is currently no timetable for his return to the court for Boston. The Celtics visit the Phoenix Suns tomorrow night. The Bruins, meanwhile, visit the Anaheim Ducks tomorrow night. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. Boston has lost six in a row entering play tomorrow night. The Red Sox wrap up their two-game exhibition series in Mexico against the Sultanes de Monterrey tonight at 7:10. Left-handed pitching prospect Shane Drohan starts for Boston, and you can listen to the game right after the Christian Arcan Show on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. A Patriots compensation update from ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. Linebacker Christian Ellis's new deal with the Pats is for $13.5 million over 2 years. Ellis returns to the team after the Patriots chose to match an offer sheet from the Las Vegas Raiders, and the NFL's competition committee is likely to propose a change to the league's kickoff rules that would raise return rates for the 2025 season. The proposal would spot touchbacks at the 35-yard line rather than the 30, as it was in 2024 during the inaugural season of the league's revamped kickoff format. The official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox. Make this season your season with the solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. I'm Dan Ball. This is trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Brady had this to say about his departure from the Patriots on his weekly newsletter. The reality was, after 20 years together, a natural tension had developed between where Coach Belichick and I were heading in our careers and where the Patriots were moving as a franchise. It was the kind of tension that could only be resolved by some kind of split or one of us reassessing our priorities.
That was a piece of Tom Brady's post. Apparently he has a newsletter, TomBrady.com. Yep. I wasn't aware of all of this. WEEI Afternoons, Andy Hart.
You don't subscribe?
I don't.
The Brady Substack, the GOAT Substack.
Do you get this? I didn't even know it was a thing.
I got to be honest, I do not.
This week he has my thoughts on free agency, March 24th, 2025. And he gets into priorities and different things and that piece right there, why he went into free agency. To me, the most interesting part was how he went about it. He did his own version, and you're not surprised. He's Tom Brady. He's analytical. He's prepared. He does all these things. You know, a lot of us do pros and cons. You get the two, like, you get the legal sheet out and like, oh, I have a new job offer. What are the pros? What are the cons? Weigh it. He went deeper than that. He had 20 things that were, you know, potential issues or whatever, factors in a free agency. He ranked them and then graded each one on a scale of importance from 1 to 3. So 3 being, you know, the most important, 3 being the strongest, 1 being the weakest. Uh-huh. And so he gives an example. The presence of skill players was a 3 in terms of importance, for example, and the Bucks graded out as a 3 because of guys like Evans and Godwin. Okay, I get that. You're an aging quarterback. You want to have weapons around you. You're not looking to rebuild. You're looking to have guys you can get the ball to. And I agree with his assessment. He went to a place. I told people this at the time when they were telling me how bad the Bucks were. Yeah, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, pretty good weapons for him to throw to. Then he said the same was true for the head coach. That was a 3 importance, and Tampa scored a 3 with Bruce Arians. You think
they did, huh?
You think Bruce Arians is a 3 of a head coach, like the highest level you could put on a head coach? That's Bruce Arians?
I would have given Bruce Arians a 3 maybe as OC, probably a 2 as head coach. Although at the time, I will say this, his style so starkly contrasted Belichick's outgoing, brash, fun, no risk it, no biscuit.
Win or lose with booze.
Yeah.
Stiz and I do that every day here on WEEI Afternoons.
Mm-hmm. Lots of losing and lots of boozing.
Hey,
come on. Hey, not fair. No, man. I mean, I think that's why he probably scored a 3. I mean, he had a great reputation around the league. People liked him. It's just that the guy that previously played quarterback for him, who, side note, is going to make the New York Giants an absolute blast to watch next season, just couldn't stop throwing the ball to the other team.
So he goes on. Game day weather was a 2. Practice weather was a 3. So he wanted it to be really nice when he practices. Didn't care as much about game days. Although, didn't he used to brag here about he could play in any weather because he had it down to a degree? What gloves to wear, what layers to wear, whether to bring out the scuba snorkel gear and all that. He didn't want to do that in the back end of his career. He was getting a little older. I feel for him. I don't like the cold weather like I used to. Grandpa gets a chill and he can't get rid of it at this age. Financial compensation was on the list. But it wasn't first. It probably wasn't even top 10, and it definitely didn't rank as a 3 in importance. So he wanted to be appreciated, which we thought was financial, and then in this piece he says it really wasn't that big a deal, wasn't in the top 10 factors. He writes, in the end, I chose Tampa almost exactly 5 years ago now because in the aggregate, it graded out higher than New England along those 20 or so dimensions. It's not much more complicated than that, which struck my ear and eye, Fitzy, because it makes no sense to me. It wasn't about him comparing New England and Tampa. He decided he was leaving New England because of tensions with Bill Belichick, lack of respect, couldn't get the contract he wanted.
This
all
is the first I've heard of any of that.
Right. Yeah, it's the weirdest thing. We had to wait 5 years. It's almost like we've heard this nonstop for 10 years. Wasn't Tampa going against San Francisco, Chicago, Tennessee? Like, weren't those the teams that were being graded on this scale? The Patriots were out of the picture. Once you decided you wanted to leave the Patriots, you weren't going back to the Patriots. So when did you know that Tampa was an option? This all seems very weird to me. It seems like the timeline in Brady's mind. Of course, you never know with him because he was flirting with the Dolphins for years.
I was
going to
say,
scandal,
I had a
and
feeling. Yeah, dude, Andy, if he had his way, it wasn't going to be Tampa. He was going to the Dolphins. I said it on this radio station a couple of years ago. No one probably believed me because I'm the Foxborough fanboy, but I had it on record and good authority that he was out there flirting, and more than just flirting. He was laying a foundation in the community in Miami to get down there and get after it. And then there's a Belichick thumb text, or there's a call here, or someone blows a whistle there, and all of a sudden everyone's like, cheese it, the cops. And they have to abandon ship, and thus Tampa became the play.
Yeah, this all of this is weird to me. I really would like to know more and more what was going on behind the scenes. How many fires did he have burning? Clearly Miami was a fire that was burning in the background. Did he have a Tampa fire also burning in the background? Did he have all these
who
other
was
fires?
The angry guy? Andy, who was the guy? Remember in the video in the shop, like, you're going to keep that MF-er for me? Was it Derek? Did we ever boil it down? Was it Derek Carr? Garoppolo? Oh, was it Baker Mayfield, maybe? I forget who it was.
I remember there was a lot of speculation. I don't remember if, and I do believe we figured it out in the end.
I think we settled on someone.
We definitely settled on someone. I forget now because there's been so many of those speculative issues with Brady. This whole thing is weird to me. First of all, finding out that he has a newsletter. Second of all, him writing all this in detail, because this is new information. He's talked a lot about free agency. He had the long chat with Howard Stern. He's had all these various things, but I don't remember him detailing 1 to 3 and ranking them all and where everything, how it all kind of came to fruition. But I also wonder when he did this. Was he still wearing a Patriots uniform when he started thinking, so Mike Evans versus who are the bums I look around me in the Gillette locker room? They're a 1. Evans is a 3. And Stiz, you said you have some audio here from Stephen A., sort of reacting to this latest piece of, I guess, Tom Brady information about why he left 5 years ago.
Because I'll tell you what I was told. What I was told, even when Tom Brady was walking out the door, if Bill Belichick had said to Tom Brady, I don't want to lose you, I want you to stay, Tom Brady's staying in New England. Bill Belichick refused to do that. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
You figure out who told me. I'm telling you what I was told.
What?
Directly.
Are you challenging me to question your sources on the air? Is that
he's trying to humbly brag that Brady told him that?
Like, what are we doing here? Anyway, so that's the latest on Tom Brady. Forget that. I'm sick of Tom Brady. I have a little fun game I want to play with my guy Dan Ball. Fitzy has dubbed it Overs and Unders. Or you could just call it Overs and Unders if you want to enunciate and
I
not
like
be annoying.
Over under.
Okay, over. You're not going to ruin my summer, and we're going to talk about your overs and your unders. Dan Ball has prepared a list of 10
yep.
overs and unders for us for your Boston Red Sox. We know there's a lot of speculation. For example, Craig Breslow put an over and under out there a while back, sort of unbeknownst to all of us. Tristan Casas. Over 40 home runs and 120 RBI or under? I would take the under on both of those. It's not a very good number to set. Hopefully Dan Ball is better at setting the numbers, Dan.
So, today for our overs and unders of our 10 prop bets that we have, fellas, we have 4 relating to the pitching staff, 4 relating to the lineup, and then 2 with just general team props that we'll have. So, I'm going to present the numbers to you, give me an over and an under, and then justify your point very quickly. So, Andy, let's start up at the top with the rotation. Garrett Crochet, his strikeout totals for 2025. Last year, finished with 209 strikeouts as a first-year starter, as
over.
You mentioned earlier in the show. So the number that I am setting for you is 225 and one half, over or under?
Over by a mile. He'll be well north of 250. He is going to eat up innings. He's going to pitch a career high in innings. He's going to make 30 starts. And all these geeks, your people, are telling me he's going to strike out 37.5% of the batters he faces, blah, 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 blah. He strikes out a lot of hitters. He is going to strike out 250 or more batters this year.
Goodness. Fitzy, over or under 225 and a half?
Oof. I'm going to go over. I don't believe I'm going to go over as high as Andy just did there. But
who? Kel J?
Sorry.
What were you going to call
me? 230. I'd like the 230s, maybe. Like 250 is a lot. But
no, 300's a lot. I was going to start at 300, but I didn't want the homer horn.
Sale was the last one to do that in 2017, correct?
For context, I don't have that offhand, but what I can tell you is that last year's leader was Tarek Skubal with 228.
Screw him.
Okay.
Skubal.
There you go. By the way,
that's the kind of analysis you can get here, folks.
Exactly.
I'm all in on Crochet.
I think everyone is as well. By the way, there's a guy who just made the There's a guy who just made the Angels opening day rotation, and he's the first guy in Major League Baseball to make a team's rotation, just jumping completely out of having to pitch on the farm team league since Crochet. I had no idea that Crochet basically was like, we're signing you. Oh, my God, you're so good. We don't even need, just don't even bother going single, double, triple. Just get up here and start throwing now.
Right to the pen. Get out there and warm up.
All right, two overs on the strikeouts. Let's do innings pitch for Garrett Crochet while we have a moment. The leader in Major League Baseball last year was Logan Gilbert, 208 and two-thirds innings. Last year for Garrett Crochet, he pitched 146. My number for you, Andy, is 190 innings for Garrett Crochet, over or under?
190 feels like a lot. So let's say he makes 30 starts. That would be 6 plus innings per start, because that would be 180 innings. Quick math in my head. You have him over 6 innings per start.
There were 9 pitchers in baseball last year that had the over on that stat.
Give me the under. I'm going to say under on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to go under on that one as well. I'll be, if he pitches over anything over 170 innings, I'll be thrilled with him. Yeah. And I know he's going to want to try to stretch it out, to prove people wrong, because we talked about that edge he has, and B, because he knows if he pitches more and does well, he makes money.
But he also has to manage his innings so he can pitch in the World Series.
Now that I like.
I'm talking about.
Homer honk be damned. I like that. Okay, let's go to Tanner Houck. He finished last year in 30 total starts with 9 wins. That was a career high. He had 6 the year before and then 5 the year before that. His over-under total this season, Andy, for me, is 11.5 wins. Over or under for Tanner Houck?
Is this one of those SAT questions? Did you say 5 wins to 6 wins to 9 wins, and now you're asking me 11 wins?
11.5, to be specific.
I will take the over, and it's because he feels the weight lifted by Crochet being the ace bumps him down. He can kind of just get in where he fits in now, and I'm going to say he wins more than 11.5 games. I really am a homer. Play the horn.
I'm very worried about you with what you're saying.
Wow.
Where's Andy?
I know exactly. This guy can stay. It's fine. It's fun. It's a refreshing alternative.
Go back to yelling at people.
Please, God, no. Please God. No, all right, go ahead, God. Fitzy. Over or under?
I'm going to go over. Not a ton, but I'll go over because I think a 14-win season is at hand, but I don't think he's winning as many games as a lot of people around here think he will.
Okay.
Fair enough. Last of the pitching stats, and you can chime in, by the way, if you hear something that you disagree with, either text line or you can call in as well, and we
this
can get some
be
of the reactions.
Blown saves.
This is saves, full stop. So
no
last
blown?
Pause and no. Yes. Last year, age 36 in 68 games, Aroldis Chapman finished with 14 saves. That was his highest since 2021 when he had 30. He is now the odds-on closer at least to begin the season for the Red Sox. My number for you, Andy Hart, is 19.5 saves for Aroldis Chapman.
Under, easy, because I think he's going to blow a bunch of saves with walks, and I think he's going to be replaced before the trade deadline, before the All-Star break, hopefully in May. I'm looking for a new closer, a closer we can all rally behind in May. So I will take the under on those saves.
You know what? I think Aroldis Chapman may not be a tremendous person, but I think on this particular team, he's going to be a tremendous pitcher. I'm going well over on that one. I don't believe there's some hero at the back end of the bullpen coming as early as Memorial Day weekend.
Uh-oh.
They're going to give him a chance, then they'll give Hendricks a chance. But I think Aroldis Chapman is going to grab this and run with it, because guess what he could parlay throwing 100 miles an hour and getting a bunch of saves for the Red Sox into this year, Andy? One final suckers multi-year deal to make a ton of money.
Cha and ching.
Okay, those are our four, and that was the first time I think that you guys deviated from each other. So those were the four for the pitching. Let's move to the lineup, and let's move to our favorite, St. Alex Bregman, as he gets ready for his first season as a member of the Boston Red Sox. Again, it's fair to say that Bregman has seen a little bit of a downturn in production. He's hit 259, 262, and 260 each of the last three seasons. He had 30 doubles last year. That was up from 28 the year before, but down from 38 the year before that. So I'm setting your number, Andy. Alex Bregman doubles off the monster, so to speak. 30.5 is your over-under. Can he do better than a season ago?
Over, easy. Absolutely. I think that is going to be where he's going to, well, maybe not make his $40 million, but make his money, his greatest contributions are going to come from the doubles. So that will be way, he'll be in the 40s for doubles.
He'll be in the 40s,
yep.
A number that he has not hit since he had 51 in 2018. I like your optimism, even if it's unbased.
Well, when I'm banging on a garbage can there at Fenway, I'll help him out a little bit.
Okay. Fitzy, all would you right. grab this one?
Your number was 30 and a half?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I mean, it was only 2 years ago where he had almost 40 again, and now he plays in the ballpark that he has his bet that he hits best in. This is a no-brainer. This is an easy over. But I am going to go. I'm going to double or nothing. Over doubles on 30 and a half under Hart's 50.
Oh, you're going to split the difference, huh? Middle it a little
I'm gonna
bit
try
here.
To, I'm doubling down on that one. That's I got to go for the win here.
We should probably recall this date and this somewhat cocky tone we've used in making many of these predictions.
Somewhat.
I feel like this could be entertaining down the road when Bregman has like 12 doubles or something.
Don't you worry. This will be promptly posted to our social media accounts to rub in everybody's faces.
When Chapman has like a record 57 saves or
right.
something, and I'm like, he's replaced by Labor Day. I mean, Memorial Day.
All right, let's move along to Jarren Duran, who led Major League Baseball with 14 triples last year. And he's already shaking his head. So I'm going to give the number anyways. My over-under, can he pass that? 14 and a half triples in 2025. Can he outdo what was an MVP caliber season last year?
That's a lot of triples. I'm going to have to take the under. I think he's going to take a little bit of an offensive step back. Not terribly. I just don't know that he's going to have the MVP caliber season that he had a year ago. So I'll take the under.
I'm going to take the under as well, but mostly because I feel like he, last year... Yeah, great hits where he could leg it out. I don't think he's going to have to this year because there's actually going to be someone, if not multiple people, hitting behind him that can knock him in. So he's not going to feel the need to leg them all out. I'll take the under, but he still probably leads the league.
Okay. I like that. Like both of those. Let's move on to Rafael Devers, or as his own manager calls him, Big Boy, who will be starting as the designated
Joey Chestnut
of the Boston Red Sox in 2025.
Not a compliment.
I borrowed this one from BetMGM. I set most of these myself, but the over-under number for his home runs sitting right now is 30.5 home runs for Rafael Devers. So feel free to answer in Spanish because sí and no seem to be the only thing that he said this offseason.
Más. I'm going to say there's going to be más than 30 home runs by Rafael Devers. I think he's going to be the DH, and I've said it all along. I think he benefits. I think the wear and tear on his body, the injuries. I think last year he got stuck at 28 home runs because of the shoulders. He won't have that issue this year. I think he is going to approach 40 home runs, so give me the mass home runs.
Yeah, I'll just take the over on
okay.
that.
You know hablo español?
Sí.
Más o menos?
I'm doing my Duolingo right now. I'm only about a month in, so.
All right, boys.
We'll revisit at the end of the season.
Don't forget to catch Andy on the Red Sox Spanish broadcast this
Buenas
season.
Buenas noches, amigos.
Okay. Andy, yo soy cansado.
See, baseball been very, very good to me. Okay, go ahead.
And as Rob Gronkowski said famously, yo soy fiesta.
Yes.
Tristan Casas enters into his age 25 season, as Andy teed up. The expectation that was put out there was 40 home runs and 120 runs batted in. I'm not in on that, so I'm setting an over-under total for RBIs at 99.5. Can Tristan Casas reach triple digits in RBIs in 2025?
Under.
Under.
I think 90 RBI is a good season for him, so I'm going to say under. I think he can have a good season and still not hit 100.
Going to be a lot of names we've already covered on those bags ahead of him. I'm taking the over.
Over is where Fitzy goes. Two rapid-fire questions, and you can answer both at the same time. Andy Hart, win total 86.5, and AL East odds plus 250. Over or under on the wins, and do you take those division odds?
I don't love the division odds. I think they're going to make the playoffs as a wild card. Yeah. I do have the over. I put my money where my mouth is a long time ago on the 86.5 wins. I think they're going to be close to a 90-win baseball team, so give me the over.
All right, Fitzy?
I'm on the over on that one. As I told you, plus 350 to win the AL East. I'm all over the over.
Okay. That is over and under for Red Sox season 2025, Andy Hart, and we'll post those out on social media and revisit them in October.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being optimistic, and we're just two homers doing a radio show here, 2 to 6, WEEI, the flagship station of your Boston Red Sox, and we will talk to Alex Cora for the first time this year tomorrow here on WEEI Afternoons at 2:30. Up next here, it's Odds and Ends.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
You can listen to WEEI on your smart speaker.
Just say, play 93.7 WEEI.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons coming up on Odds and Ends. Odds and Ends sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations, also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-4KIDS. That's cars with a K. Before we get to odds and ends, let's clean up the phone lines. George has been hanging on in Warwick. He wants to talk about Bruce Arians, who we were talking about earlier in relation to Tom Brady going to Tampa. What's up, George?
Oh, holy cow, guys. I nearly threw up in my mouth, except I was falling out of my chair. I can't believe those two were compared to each other as threes. All you have to do is roll the tape from the day Arians spit the bit with less than a minute left against the Rams. That was the look of one Tom Brady who was saying, I'm never going to play for this coach again, and he did not.
Thanks for the call, George. I don't think Bruce Arians is on the same level as Bill Belichick. I think if you gave Tom Brady truth serum and he actually did it on the up and up, I don't think he would rate them the same number. But it is what it is. He gave Bruce Arians a 3 when he was ranking his reasons to go to Tampa Bay. So, yes, Fitzy.
No, I was just getting my camera to come back.
I was noticing you were a blur. It's like the Flash. He was like, moving around blurry.
Technology can be a bitch, even in the age of AI, Andy.
Usually I don't get blurry till like 9:30, right, Stiz? Just saying. Fitzy, you know that the Red Sox are undergoing a bit of a transition in the whole City Connect jersey line. The yellows that everybody has loved, or a lot of people have loved.
Are they still in the rotation? Because I've heard about there being a new City Connect. They are there because they're great.
They are now your alternate jersey for the Boston Red Sox.
One of the two of them.
Yes. You have a red jersey. You have a yellow jersey.
The
and
Blues
now
went bye-bye.
You have a green jersey. The new City Connects are going to be green. Sam Kennedy was talking about it, and I'm not sure what he's indicating with these comments, so take a listen.
The new City Connects are something that people are obsessed with. We've heard that they're green. No one's seen them yet. Do you have a date when they're going to be unveiled, and B, a date when the team's going to wear them first?
I don't, but I can tell you that they will be controversial. And I think you're on the right track in terms of the color scheme that you mentioned. I'm not surprised to see that the rundown has it before anybody else. I will say, though, nothing can be more controversial than bright yellow. Mm-hmm. And those were probably among the most popular things we've ever done. So I would say give them a chance. And I always have to remind people like my dad and others, you know, these uniforms are not for you. They are for the players and for that next generation of fans. And so we'll see how the next version of City Connect rolls out. And we'll have news on that soon. But you are onto it again, Cotillo.
So that was Sam Kennedy on the Fenway Rundown with Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam. How could green jerseys be controversial, Fitzy?
I have absolutely no idea, and I believe that Sam Kennedy's idea of, quote, controversial is very different from ours. Like, controversial was that accidental lady parts looking oyster alternative jersey the other day.
That's
controversial. That qualifies as controversial.
But I'm assuming these jerseys are going to be some shade of Fenway green. They're going to look like the Green Monster.
Or Kelly green, maybe, something.
Well, the one thing I brought up, so Nike does City Connect jerseys. The Boston Celtics jersey this year has that weird fluorescent green. Any chance they're like, you know, we got some of this material left over. Let's put that fluorescent green on the Red Sox new City Connect jerseys, because that would be atrocious and controversial. But I can't envision that. I feel like it's going to be the old St. Patrick's Day green top throwback. Like,
and will the font match? Here's what would make it ultra cool, though. If the font matched the Green Monster.
Okay,
the way that the team names are written on the scoreboard.
Sure,
that would look incredible.
Yeah, I don't think that'll be controversial.
Those would fly off shelves, racks, and websites.
Well, these are gonna sell well. And joining us now from the Christian Arcan show, because he's the type of guy that really gets angry about these types of things. So, Christian Arcan, do you think you're going to be angry about the City Connect green jerseys? Are they going to be controversial to you?
Well, they will be. Are they? I didn't just hear you. Did you say that they're getting rid of the yellow and blue ones, the marathon ones?
No, those are now an alternate jersey. They're staying in the rotation. They're just not dubbed their City Connects anymore.
Okay. So long as they're keeping those, then I don't really care. Like, you can bring in new ones if you want. If these are going to be replacing those, I would have a problem with that, because I love those colors. I love yellow and baby blue, and you guys know everyone loves that.
Yes.
Because of Jones and Keefe's bracket that they're doing.
Yep.
Everybody loves those colors, me included. UCLA, Chargers. Like, it's a great scheme, so I hope they keep those. I'm glad to hear they are. And whatever, they can do whatever they want with the other one. I was sort of hoping they'd go with the old blue spring training jerseys from, like, from the 90s. You know what I'm talking about? They were all blue with the red Bs on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, yeah. They're actually getting rid of the blues they've been using, so that's what is sort of out the door now for this. The one thing I said to Dan Ball in the break is that could be slightly controversial is if they do the red alternates on a Friday night, the yellow City Connects on a Saturday, and then the greens on a Sunday. There is what the hell are your colors? This is a little weird homestand here, but even that
color is green, Andy. That's what their color is.
Yes, and I will be buying it if it is good. I have a City Connect shirt and pullover.
Money.
Absolutely. And Sam is right. The one thing he nailed, Dad, this isn't for you. This is for the players and the young kids in this new world of cool jerseys. So, yeah, I look forward to whatever the City Connects are. Christian Arcan, what do you got coming up tonight? Is this a full show for you?
No, it's not. This is the ultimate fraud shift. I'm on for 1 hour, and we're going to mostly just talk about the headlines. It's going to be a half hour of headlines, and then, you know, some calls. We'll get to those. And then it's right to Mexico to finish off this series here with the Red Sox.
You excited about a little Mexican baseball tonight? It went well last night.
I did. It was pretty fun. And, yeah, I'm excited about this, too. No Devers, no Story. I know that they kept him back home, so hoping that no one gets hurt or anything like that in one of these. But, yeah, other than that, I'm just ready for the season to start. I want Thursday to just get here already.
All right. Just like those City Connect jerseys, stick around for the marathon version of the Christian Arcan Show, 6 to 7, leading into Red Sox baseball from Mexico. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. Fitzy, hell of a job. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Dan Ball,
yes,
nice job. You got a big fan on the text text line on the overs and the unders says you need a raise for that segment.
Oh, wow.
Stiz, you're doing a hell of a job with the Homer horn. We earned it many, many times today. Tomorrow, 2:30, first time this year, each and every Wednesday, Alex Cora will join us to talk about the opening of Red Sox season. I think we'll still also have Scal at 4 o'clock tomorrow. So Ted Johnson will be back. Going to be a busy show here on WEEI Afternoon. So we'll talk to you tomorrow at 2. Grandpa gets a chill and he can't get rid of it at this age.
And now they might put Matsuzaka back in the outfield too?
On the flagship station.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.